Let us pray together. Your eyes miss nothing, O God. You look not only at the things that we can see, but also inside where we can only imagine. Open our eyes to see as you see. Open our ears to hear as you speak. Open our hearts to receive your wisdom and to know your voice and your truth and your grace. As we come to your word, lead us in your way. Amen. This morning's scripture reading comes from the fourth chapter of the letter to the church at Ephesus. The reading begins in chapter 4, verse 25, and continues through chapter 5, verse 2. Listen now and hear God's word. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but rather what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Is this the good news? You know, you would think that good news would be more popular. Ephesians 4 doesn't exactly fly in this culture, especially in an election season. Can you imagine beginning presidential debates with the question, you are running for the highest office in the land. Are you ready to put away all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander? That doesn't make for good television. Because these days, the good news isn't to be kind. The good news isn't living in love. Instead, the good news seems to be when we can bury our enemies. The really good news is when we can cut ourselves free from the burden of others. The great news is when we can be secure. And the best news is when we can say, sorry, not my problem. Or as the old Polish proverb goes, not my circus. Not my monkeys. The good news seems to be whatever will put me first and feed my ego and keep me from having to help anyone else. Except that that's not at all what God asks of us. This month we're in the midst of this short sermon series called It's the Little Things. About the little things that make a big difference in our lives and our spiritual growth. Last week, we talked about how we use our time. Next week, we'll talk about caring for this creation. Today, we're looking at relationships and how we interact with others. And these words from Ephesians seem particularly fitting as we consider how to treat another human being. I had the chance to put this into practice this week. On Tuesday, 3 hours and 15 minutes of my afternoon were swallowed up by an online chat with the cable company about a billing issue. Now, to be fair, 2 hours of that, I was stuck in customer service purgatory. Please stay on the line. The next available representative will be with you shortly. Now, I should mention that I was making this call because I had made the exact same call a month ago. Also, nearly a 3 hour investment of time, but the supervisor who assured me that I would be getting a refund failed to follow through with what he had promised. So by the time I spoke to a human being on Tuesday, I had already invested 5 hours of my time in what was going to be a $40 refund. But by this point, it's the principle of the thing, right? I tell you all of that just to say that I had plenty of reason to be provoked when the customer service rep finally appeared. But Ephesians 4 was already swimming in my head. And so I made a conscious decision that I was going to be kind in my interactions with the agent. Firm, if I needed to be, but kind. I will admit that on that initial call a month ago, I may not have been my best self. But on Tuesday, I decided to put these words from Ephesians 4 into practice. And once I made up my mind to do that, it wasn't really all that hard at all. In fact, it was almost enjoyable. The agent and I joked back and forth. I had to wait while a supervisor reviewed the account. At one point, I was transferred to another department. But it was a successful, even pleasant call. I don't know if it made customer service agent Lori's day any better, but it sure did improve mine. See, it's the little things, like trying to take another person's point of view, or trying to assume the best from people instead of defaulting to the worst, or expecting the best from ourselves, even when it flies in the face of how we might be feeling at any given moment. Because the truth is that every human interaction is a relationship. Whether it's with the person you're married to, or the person who gave birth to you, or the person who's running the cash register in the checkout line at Walmart. Be kind to one another, Paul says, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Maybe you've seen those words said another way. It's a quote from a Scottish novelist named Ian Maclaren, 19th century. Maclaren says, "Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about." Now, here's what the internet will teach you. I learned this week that Ian Maclaren was the pen name of the Reverend Dr. John Watson, a minister of the Free Church of Scotland in the late 18 and early 1900s. John Watson knew that even in the church, relationships are complicated, and that everyone is fighting a battle that most of us know nothing about. That's where grace comes in. Unmerited favor, kindness, even if it's not reciprocated, forgiveness, even if no apology is offered. Exactly what God has given to us, we get to offer to one another. I guess another way to say that is to say that all relationships are based on some kind of faith. Those who are married try to stay faithful to their marriage vows. If I hire you to mow my lawn, I have faith that you're going to show up and do that, and you have faith that I'm going to pay you like I promised. Friendships are based on the faith that they'll be there for one another. As Christina Yang says about Meredith Grey on Grey's Anatomy, if I murdered someone, she's the person I would call to help me drag the corpse across the living room floor. Relationships are based on a faith that we can be counted on and that we can count on one another. Now, the best way to destroy that faith or that relationship is to make someone prove it, to make it certain or obligatory. Love renews our humanity precisely because it flows from grace. As I read over this passage again and again, I couldn't help but notice how much of it is about our words, our speech. Speak the truth. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth. Put away wrangling and slander. Build up so that your words may give grace to those who hear. A white Presbyterian preacher once asked an African-American preacher colleague how they got away with a worship service that was always at least 2 hours long. "I get in trouble if I go 5 minutes past the hour," the Presbyterian complained. How do you manage it? Well, the other preacher said, we spend so much of our week getting beat down by the words spoken about us, being wrongly told who we are and what we are worth. We hear that kind of poison all week long, so we figure it takes at least a few hours on a Sunday to let God's word build us back up again. The words that we hear and the words that we use have the power to restore lives, week in and week out, whether they come from the pulpit or from the checkout line. We are members of one another, Paul says. Only use words that give grace. Only make comments that build up. Now, can you imagine how lives around us would change if we took that seriously? Can you imagine what kind of community this would turn into if this congregation only used words that build up and give grace? I can. And may it be so for all of us. Amen.